Everybody get your Bibles out. And we've been studying a little bit here on raising our children. I think last night showed a great effort on the part of our church and the parents in here to raise children right. I think what we did last night is a good idea for things that the world does. I've always believed God takes something away from us, He has something to replace it with. You know, when you get saved, maybe you give up your wicked music, He gives you good music. Maybe you give up, I don't know, somebody said you give up drinking, and He gets you on living water. But you know, the Lord always has something better to replace it with. So we as parents got to learn how to, when we take something away from our kids, give them something in its place. And if they say, can we go trick-or-treating? We say no, then we're going to give them something to do for the Lord. So that's what we did last night. I think all of that plays. You don't want kids to grow up thinking, I was brought up in a Christian home, so I didn't get to do nothing. I mean, they've got they're kids. They're full of energy. They're full of questions. They're full of enthusiasm. They're full, and they're going to do something. And so we got to provide the right kind of atmosphere for them to do that. And I know people who raise their kids and say, you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Wouldn't let them play ball. Wouldn't let them do anything because they're afraid to get into sin. And the kid finally one day gets up and says, my goodness, this is a bunch of junk. And I know it's tough as a parent. It really is, because you don't want your kids doing something that's going to get them in trouble. But at the same time, the hardest thing you're going to face as a parent is knowing where to draw lines, and am I being too loose or am I being too strict? That's a big argument. Down just one hair, Brother Mike. That's going to be a very difficult thing as a parent. When am I being too strict? When am I being too easy? You're going to have people tell me, you're going to have people in your family tell you, if you try to live right, your family is going to tell you you're too strict on your kids. Especially your mama and your daddy, and right, don't pay no attention to them. They're strict on you when you was little. They'd say, honey, now don't you spank him. Don't spank him. He didn't do nothing wrong. You better not listen to them. They're crazy. Grandparents will ruin your kids if you'll let them. So you don't want to do it. Ain't that right, Brother Ray? Amen. That's why his daughters won't let him keep theirs. Oh, it's her? Well, anyway, you know, somebody's going to say you're too strict, and then you're going to come to church, and somebody's going to say you're too lenient. And you can't please everybody. You got to try to please God and do the best you can. I want to talk just for a minute, and I want you to help me, about a mother's influence. I talked a little bit about this Sunday morning in Sunday school. A lot of you were not in here. You were out working in other places in the church, Sunday school. But a mother's influence cannot be overestimated. A mother's influence. There is no way you can estimate how much influence a mother has on a child. All you ladies in here, girls, we got a lot of babies in our church. And you have the glorious opportunity of putting the fear of God, the Word of God, in that child's heart. What they grow up thinking about God, they're going to get from you when they're little. And I'm telling you, you're going to shape them. Just like this thing's like a tree. Did you know if you bend a tree like that and tie it down, that tree will grow that way. If you bend it this way, it'll grow that way. And that's the way a kid is. Whichever way you push them, that's the way they're going to grow. Now, they might do like this after a while, but they're going to be bent the way you push them. I'll give you an illustration. I read about a young man the other day. I got this book, talks about stories for the soul that I've been reading. And it's got some great little short stories in it. And one of the stories said that a great man, I forgot what his name was, he had his boy, 8 or 9 years old, come home one day with a bucket of blackberries. And he had these blackberries, and he said, Daddy, Mr. So-and-so over there run me out of his field and cussed me and told me, he better never catch me in his field again. He said, what was you doing in his field? He said, I was just picking blackberries. He said, I I was just picking blackberries. He wasn't going to get them. I didn't think there'd be anything wrong with it. And he come out and run me off. And that man come out and chased him out there. You come out field, I better never catch you on my property again. And you know what that daddy did? That daddy took that boy and the blackberries and marched them over there to the house and knocked on his door and made that boy apologize for getting that man's field and stealing blackberries. Was that the right thing to do as a parent?
Yep.
Yes, sir, it sure was. Absolutely. Parents nowadays don't do that. They'd say, well, he better not lay a hand on you, honey. I'll go over there and bust him. I'll shim him. I see it. And that's what's ruining kids.
Amen.
I mean, you've got to teach them it's wrong to steal out of their neighbor's yard. Lord, have mercy. And you know what the man did? The man said, it's no big deal. I just overreact, keep them going home. And he was nice about it. But that man, he never said he never forgot his daddy making him go apologize. Your daddy makes you go apologize to somebody that you took something from. Does anybody like that ever have anything happen to you? I figured you had. His hand, before I even know what the question is, his hand goes up. Okay, go ahead. Amen. Amen. You know what I remember my mom saying when I was little? She said, don't steal a bobby pin. Mom used to always say that. It's wrong to steal a bobby pin. I'll never forget her saying that. Little insignificant. Girls don't even use bobby pins no more, do they? Is them things still around? I ain't seen one in 20 years. But she said, it's wrong to steal a bobby pin. But we, somehow or another, we get the idea if, you know, if it's $100, it's a sin. But I'll just take that. It won't make no difference. And I could think of a bunch of examples, like letting your kids eat off the buffet when you didn't pay for it. Stuff like that. And I'm, oh yeah, really. I mean, what you're teaching them is, it's all right to steal just a little bit. And that's a bad thing to do. I'm telling you. Anybody else? Can anybody else give us an example of when you was little, Miss Helen? Oh, you change the characters in this story, huh? Go ahead. Amen. Amen. That's what you ought to do. If you'll teach these little babies, little kids growing up, you don't take nothing that ain't yours. I don't care if it's a penny. Now, what if you're walking down the street and you find $20 laying on the sidewalk? That's where that old verse of Scripture comes in. I love down through the years. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. No, I tell you what, if I find a bunch of money, I tell you what I did. You're going to be proud of me. I didn't think about it. This guy standing in front of me at the store, I think it was yesterday, the day before, and he dropped $5 in the floor, and he didn't even know it. And I punched him on the shoulder and said, that's yours, that's yours. He couldn't speak English. And he was telling me, yeah, like that. And if I find money, I'll tell you what I do. I look around if somebody dropped it. If they didn't, you know, then it's yours. I tell you what I've done. If you ever went up to a phone booth or a drink machine and there's like 30 quarters down there in that thing, I usually just leave them alone because I think that might be somebody and they're coming. I mean, you can do what you want to, and I don't condemn you. But I know one thing. We may differ a little bit on that, but I'll tell you one thing, brother. If you know something belongs to somebody else, it's wrong. Take it. Amen? It's wrong. It's wrong. It's sin. It's just like murder. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Just like committing adultery, say amen.
Amen.
Who had their hand raised, brother? Yeah, that's conspiring to do it. You're just conspiring to do it. You get a whipping. Amen. Anybody else? Right quick. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've done that one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot. And if that does happen, take it back. You know, because God's in control. He's able to make it up to you. Don't think, ha-ha, it's my lucky day. You know, because you wouldn't think, if it was the other way around, you wouldn't like it. You know, like if they cheated you, you'd be right back in wanting your money. Right? You wouldn't say, ah, finders, keepers, looters, weepers. My bad. No, sir, you'd be back in there saying, I want my money. A girl at the bank cheated me out of $100 here a few months ago. She didn't mean to. She just made a mistake. And I caught it. Just happened. I used to not even count my money. I just take my pocket and go on. But now I've got to where I count it because they do make mistakes. And it's $100. And brother, I said, I don't think you gave me back enough money. And she said, well, I did. I counted. I said, okay, here it is. And she counted. She had to stop, shut down her window, count the whole drawer. It took like 20 minutes. And I was right. She gave me $100 and gave it to me. And she apologized. So it's amazing how when it's our loss, we want it made right. But when it's our gain, we just say, no big deal. You know, so be honest. You know, teach these kids to be honest. And I'm all, parents, they watch it, your life. And they watch you. They watch you. And they listen to you. Go ahead, Brother Lloyd. Yeah. He said, okay. I gave you a chance, didn't he? How many think that's a good idea? I wouldn't argue with him. He tried. I mean, he tried. He didn't argue with her, though. If it had been the other way around, he'd argue with her, though. Well, that's just human nature. We're all like that. You know, if it's in our favor, yeah, we ain't going to argue with him. Hallelujah. And they put his $500 in your account? Whoa. Anybody else? Right quick. Yes, sir. Yeah, you could at least bought you something to eat. Yeah, don't give it to somebody that you don't even, you know they're going to say it's theirs. You know they're going to say, yeah, I dropped that right over there. I would say, I found some money, and they'll say, it's mine. That's what them kids used to do. I'd find money on the bus. All right, I found some money. It's mine, it's mine. I said, well, how much was it? And they'd, you know, because I'd get them like that, and it wasn't theirs. They just said it was. Anybody else? Well, we make sure, they said you teach, you instruct kids with your words, but you teach kids by your example. And what they need to do is they need to grow up. Like, I'll never forget my mom saying, don't take a bobby pin, which I'm not taking no bobby pin. But I've applied that to everything else. I've never even been tempted to steal a bobby pin. But everything, you know, down through life, I've never forgot her saying that. And my point, yeah, maybe I need one to make me pretty. But listen, what I'm saying is, you ladies don't have an idea how important your words are to your kids. I mean, I still remember my mom saying, "Don't take a bobby pin." So talk to them, tell them kids when they're little. Now, honey, don't you ever take a bobby pin. But, you know, nowadays you wouldn't say that. You'd say, I don't know, whatever, a video game, you know, a cell phone or a hair dryer or whatever, you know. I don't know if that'd be compared to bobby pins back then, but what do you call them little little scrunchies. Don't ever take a scrunchie. Or whatever them little round thing is, them girls, you put, is that what you call them? Don't ever take a scrunchie that ain't yours. It might have lice in it. Amen. So, you girls, ladies, young ladies, get it through your head right now. Put it in them. Put it in them. Mom always said, talk to them. Talk to them. Talk to them. Talk to them. You may think they're not listening. They're just running through the house. But if you'll just keep talking to them, it'll get them. And sing. Sing to them. Sing to them. Don't be like that kid, you know, preacher comes over here. The preacher comes over for dinner, and they're all sitting down at the table getting ready to eat. And right sitting there, and she said, "Now, honey, you ask the blessing." And he said, uh-uh. I don't know what to say. She says, "Honey, just ask the blessing." And she said, "I don't know what to say." She said, "Just say what mommy says." And she said, "Okay." So she bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why did I invite these people over here on a hot day like this?" She's just saying what mommy said. And they're going to hear what you say. They're going to hear if you complain all the time. They're going to hear if you're always negative. Let me give you an example. I've heard people say, everything that comes up, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. It don't matter what anybody says, we can't afford it. And you know what? Their kids grow up thinking like that. You ever notice that? We can't afford that. We can't afford that. And it's my mom, bless her heart, she still, to this day, thinks that paying $5 for something to eat is too much. She said, "Lord, that costs too much." Now, it was 30 years ago. I remember. But not now. She says, "I can't buy hamburger meat. It's too high." And she got a Social Security check and got some money in the bank. She could buy her steak. But it just, she's beat it in her head so long that we can't afford it. If we can't afford it, everything's too high, that it's just a mentality. Now that or the other way. The other way is, don't matter what nothing costs, go out and blow and stay in debt, get in debt head over your heels. But be careful about the attitude you put in your kids. If it's always negative. Same way about church. If you're always talking negative about your church, negative about the Sunday school class, and negative about the choir, what's your kids going to grow up doing? They're going to be talking negative about church. You know, I can tell that the people in here that talk good about me from the way their kids treat me. I can tell it. I've learned that over the years. What do you want, Bob? What about that? That's the truth. That's the truth. How many of you have ever coached? Little League? Buddy, that's the truth. You'd be a lot better off if parents wouldn't even come. It'd be more fun. The kids would do better and everything. But it's mom and daddy that puts that in their head. Coach is crazy. The umpire's crazy. Nobody knows nothing but me and us. You know, we're right and everybody's wrong. And it's the same way about church. If you go home on Sunday afternoon and say, "Well, I just don't understand why we did this, and I don't understand, and I don't like that property we bought over, and I don't like this, and I don't like the camp meeting, and I don't like some of them preachers, and I don't like," your kids are going to grow up saying, "I don't like them, I don't like that." Now, maybe you don't like it, but it's not wise to say that in front of your kids. Just keep it to yourself and pray about it, and just talk about the good things you do like. Amen. And, I don't like everything about our church. I don't like, some's not here tonight. I don't like that. But I'm not going to get up here and whine and say, "Our church ain't no good. People will come." You know, Lord have mercy. I'm going to say, "Praise God, we got a good crowd here tonight." And you never hear me get up here and say the crowd's down. I ain't going to do it. If it is down, I ain't going to let you know it. I'm going to say, "Praise God, we got a pretty good crowd here tonight, considering it's getting dark early now." You know? And in the summer, I'm going to say, "We got a good crowd here tonight, considering it's summertime and people like to go out when it's daylight." I mean, I'm going to talk about the good things. I'm not going to get up here and talk negative all the time. I know preachers that get up in the pulpit and say, "Church, I'll be honest with you. I was about to quit this week. I was going to resign today." Now, how would that make you feel if I got up here and said that about every 2 months? In the back of your mind, you're going to think, "Well, Brother Danny thinks it's going down, and he... It probably is. I think I'm going to jump ship before the whole thing sinks. You know? Now, if I did feel like resigning, I ain't going to get up here and tell you. You'd never know it. Amen? Because you know why? Because tomorrow I'll feel like pulling on. You know, you can't. You got to be that way in front of your kids. You can't let your kids be sitting in the living room floor and saying, "Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. We can't pay the bills. We can't." I know kids that worry theirself every night because mom can't pay their bills. Kids shouldn't even know stuff like that. Kids shouldn't even know what your bills are. I'm so strong. Well, I don't even know if your wife ought to know what they are. She should not that you're trying to hide it from her. She shouldn't have to worry about stuff like that. You'll take care of it, man. Woo! That went over good. I don't think it's wrong for her to know, but I think it's wrong for the man to put it all on the poor woman to have to worry about the bills all the time. Well, it's your job. No, it ain't her job. Her main job is to take care of the house and kid job, pay the bills. As a man, scripturally, I don't think it's wrong for a woman to help, but I definitely think you should not discuss stuff like that in front of your kids. We're talking about raising kids tonight. Just little common things about it just don't make sense. I'll tell you something else about fussing in front of your kids. I know a couple right now that I've been trying to help. They have two kids. They don't go to our church, so please don't try to figure out who it is. I'm strictly using them as an example. They're about ready to separate right now. They've been about ready to separate. They haven't got along good for several years. He said he's going to kick her out. Then he's crazy over. Then she's going to leave him. Then she don't want to leave. Then he want her to leave. And it's in front of the kids. And they told me the other day that they was going somewhere. And the kid took mommy's hand and put it in daddy's hand, trying to make them hold hands. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. And kid is telling mommy, "Why don't you love daddy?" Kids shouldn't even know that there's a problem with mom and daddy. And it's really wrong and really wicked for one or the other to pull the kids in and tell them this and that to get them their side against the other parent. I mean, that's really bad. You want to mess up a kid, you get on a kid and say, "Your daddy's mean. He's ugly. I love you, baby. Just me and you." Now, you know, if he's beating you and slapping you around and stuff like that, then, you know, you got to do what you got to do. If you're just arguing and spoiled, you ain't got no right to pull your kids in to try to turn them against your parent. I think this is another subject, but parents should always back each other up. If mama says you can't go somewhere, or daddy says you can't go somewhere, and mama said, "Mama, can I go somewhere?" And say, "Yes, you can, honey." That ain't right. That ain't right. You should back up daddy. You say, "What if I disagree with him?" Tell a kid to go outside and play, and then y'all talk it out. Pray about it. Have it out. Reach some agreement. If you can't reach an agreement, what the man says goes. I think both of you ought to have to say so. I think it ought to be 50-50 discussion, but when it's a deadlock, what the man says goes. It's like me and Chris, I told the other day, I said, "We're going to vote on something." I thought it was. What was we going to vote on? I forgot what it was. Somebody come stay at the house or something. I said, "Me and Chris is going to vote on it." Now, you know why? She's an adult. She lives at my house. Me and her are going to vote. But now, what if she votes one way and I vote the other way and it's a tie? Who's? No, you don't get to vote. You gave up your right to vote a few years ago. But see, the way it goes, it gets a vote. But if it's a deadlock, then what I say goes. But see if it goes, if we both vote the same, so I wind up getting what I want either way. No. But I mean, somebody's got, or you tell me who's supposed to settle it. Is it the kids? Why vote, he says. So everybody will feel like they got to say so. Why do we vote for a president? You know, we want to feel like we have a say so. Huh? I don't even remember what we voted on the other day. I said something. She said, "I vote no." What was that? Somebody, when you said, "I vote no," somebody wanted to come stay at our house or something. I said, "I'll ask Chris what she thinks about it." She said, "I vote no." But anyway, You ought to let your kids, your wife, husband, everybody got to say so. And don't pit the kid against the other parent just because you're wicked and backslid and selfish and want your own way. Support each other, even if the daddy says no, don't, and it's killing you, say, you heard what your daddy said. He don't know what he's talking about. When the kid goes to school, say, look, why did you tell him? Do it in private. You got a gripe, gripe in private. He might change his mind. But don't do it in front of the kid. You're going to mess that kid up. All right, I got an example or a question. It won't take much longer. I know all these are things we've all been guilty of. I know all these are things. This couple that I'm telling you about a minute ago that's about ready to separate, the man takes the boy and a girl, and the man takes the boy and says, your mama don't love me no more. That's a mistake. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get the boy to put pressure on the mama to live with him. Kids should not be used in marital fussing and fights and divorce issues. And I don't think a kid ever ought to have to be put on the stand and go to court. And that's sad. Man, that's sad. I would hate to have to go to court and decide which parent I had to live with or something like that. And sometimes things like that happen. And it ain't on anybody. But a Christian family at all cost ought to avoid court and judges and lawyers. Matter of fact, we as Christians, scripturally, we ain't ever supposed to be taking each other to court. We're supposed to be able to pray about it and settle our differences. You know, somebody won't. If they won't, they won't. If you can't, you can't. But we ought to be able to. Why should we, with the Spirit of God in us and the Word of God, have to go out there and let a bunch of heathen settle our differences? I know preachers in fact. I know some of them preachers down in South Carolina. He knows who I'm talking about, some of them. There's some of them down there suing each other. I don't know if you saw it on their websites. Some that y'all know well, all y'all know. And one preacher suing the other because one preacher's son went to one of the other one's revivals and something, they told me, one of the King James boys was telling me, he said, the boy's hair, somebody's hair, he had gel's hair. You know how young boys gel up their hair and it looks wet. And they told him, they said, we don't let queers in this church. So the one preacher was suing this other preacher for calling his boy a queer. And it turned into a big mess. And the churches was fighting and everything. Independent Baptists. What does the Bible say about stuff like that? Somebody's backslid. Now, them same old men that condemned the young men for having gel in their hair got Brill cream in theirs. Or whatever that old stuff is. Old greasy, something or another. Yeah, Vitalis. That's what my daddy used to do. He'd grease it and going over like that, you know. Now, you know, if that's the way they want to comb it, fine, I don't care. But if you want it dry, if you want it wet, who gives a big hoot? Then this girl had on a jean skirt. And she had on a jean skirt down to here, modest jean skirt. There is such a thing as a modest jean skirt, however. It was a nice jean skirt. And you know how the girls... thing they have, they're faded down through here, like a faded place through here, and a faded, that's style now, blue jeans and everything got like the real faded out right down here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. She had on a skirt like that and had a faded strip down there and a faded strip down there. And the preacher got up and said, bless God, you bunch of old little hussy out there, said, your daddy won't let you wear pants, so you wear them things down there like that so we can see your legs. That's an ignorant preacher. That's right. That's right. And you ought to thank God that a young girl's got enough conviction to wear a dress, a jean skirt. So, people, you know, like he said, it ain't the kids all the time. It's ignorant parents. Pure ignorance, brother. A lot of people think if anything is new, it's automatically wicked. And Brill cream, I reckon, was wicked when it first came out. You know, they talk like them boys, one of the boys that used to come and them. Young preachers used to fight off. And Roy Lee knows who I'm talking about. One of them come in one time and had his hair cut real short. I said, man, you got your hair cut, didn't he? He said, yes, sir. The shorter I get my hair, the closer I feel to God. And he said, what? That's right. Just shave it off if that makes you closer to God. Now, what does the Bible say? It says, if a man have what? Greasy hair? It's a shame? No. Might look nasty and stink. But if a man have long hair. Long hair. If it's short, have at it. Whatever. And if a woman's hair is given to her for a covering. So, if people just go by the Bible, you wouldn't have a bunch of crazy stuff. I didn't mean to get off on all that. But anyway, about our kids, don't go to court with each other. Don't take court. You know what I've done lots of times in my office? I've had two families sitting in there, and we are at court in my living room. Done it lots of times. And here's the way I do it. If y'all ever had a fuss with anybody, come to me. We'll do it for free. Won't charge you nothing. Do the same thing the judge does uptown. I'll sit everybody down, and we say, nobody interrupts anybody. Talk while somebody's talking. We're going to have order and said list like the Bible says. You say what you want to say. You say what you want to say. And here's what I feel like the Bible teaches. And we'll settle this thing. Lord, that's all they do. And here, we ought to be able to do it without the heathen telling us that. They're going to make you be civilized. You ain't going to get in there and holler and scream, throw things and cuss. You're going to respect the judge, respect the courtroom, and get it settled. I've done it lots of times. I don't know if y'all remember. I know Chris will probably remember. Several years ago, remember when we had the girls' home down in our living room? We had somebody was going to sue somebody or something. We had Brother Dave walk down in the whole girls' home in my living room. And somebody was going to take somebody to court. Man, I told him, I said, don't you open your mouth till they say what they're going to say. Now, you say what you're going to say. I do that with husbands and wives. I say, everything you're going to say, say it. And don't you say a word. Don't butt in till they get through. And they say, well, Brother Danny, I just feel like that she don't care about me and she never cleans up the house. And she's going, I say, huh? Let him talk. Boy, she's dying. It's killing her. She's wanting to say, you're a liar, you're a liar. I say, don't let him say what he's going to say. Finally, it gets through about 5 minutes. I say, okay, you hush. Now you say, okay, preacher, that is not true. I clean up the house at least once a month. I have to work every day. He won't help me. He didn't tell you this part, blah, 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 blah. And then finally, we get it talked out. That's the way to settle your differences. Not screaming and hollering and fussing in front of the kids and using the kids for your side. All right, I'm about through. Has anybody else got something you want to say? By the time you learn how to be a good parent, probably their kids done grown up and gone. So take some advice. Listen to these things I tell you and pray that God will give you the wisdom to raise your child right. Okay? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.